Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM. We're doing a special today on a Monday. You may be seeing it on Tuesday. You may be seeing it on Monday, but a trade deadline special here. And as always, Voss is here to talk football with me. Voss, how you doing?
Doing great, Ken. Happy to be with you. Had an exciting day of football action on Sunday, week 9. And, you know, last time we spoke, the Ravens were 1-5, and now they're 3-5, and they currently have the 5th best odds to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. So, you know, Lamar's back, Kyle Hamilton's in the box, improving the defense, and hoping that they can make some moves here at the deadline to bolster their chances.
Yeah, I think one of the questions we had last time was whether they were going to be sellers or buyers, and I think most Ravens fans who would tend to be buyers no matter what are buyers at a time like this. And I think that's the direction I lean. I'm not a hard lean in terms of really going after a lot of draft capital, you know, or spending a lot of draft capital given the Ravens' position, but I think they would be wise to improve a couple of gigantic holes that they have.
Yeah, I'm not keen on shipping off early round picks, but I do think this situation should require some urgency. The Ravens have ballooning cap hits for Lamar, goes from 44 to 75 million. Roquan from 15 to 33. Marlon Humphrey from 12 to 26. Matabike from 16 to 31. And 21 unrestricted free agents. So this could be their last chance to really make a complete roster in Lamar's prime with those numbers on the books.
Well, or they need another really good draft to get it going again, like in 19 or 22. And that is the other option is to they have a lot of picks. I believe they could have as many as 12 picks this year if all of their compensatories come through. Right. So there is some question on the border there. But the big one they just acquired recently, and it was just a six in exchange for 2027 seventh, was for Jaire Alexander. And I want to get your thoughts on that trade.
I'm so-so on that trade. I think I clearly wasn't working out here. I would have liked to see him gain a little bit more opportunity, but, you know, it wasn't going to happen. So you might as well take the pick and take the minor cap relief. And, you know, now you're down to 5 corners on the roster. And then if you include Hamilton, because he's kind of playing quasi-nickelback, that would be 6. So you are a little bit thinner than you want to be. As you used to say, you can never have enough. Let's hope health holds up.
Yeah, I'm in the same place. And you know, in part as a factor of Hamilton playing slot corner, this now creates a spot on the roster, which is one of the additional scarce commodities this time of year, is that the Ravens don't, I mean, I would not call the team healthy with Tavius Robinson, Nnamdi Matabike, and Ardarius Washington out for the season or out for extended periods. But I would say that, you know, they're all of their 53 roster spots don't include a bunch of walking wounded. And so they have some competition for active spots. And one of the big ones was Keandre Jackson, who'd had been activated 3 times now and needs to either be added to the 53 or left off the game day roster for a couple of weeks.
Yes, he's flashed on special teams. I think he's a player they want to retain going forward. Mm-hmm. The roster is imbalanced at the moment. There's 27 on offense right now with the 3 quarterback. I think there's some dead weight, and I really don't want to give – Keandre Jackson a roster spot while also keeping Sanusi Kane, and you have 2 special teams only safeties. I think there's some dead weight they can trim. Maybe it's Cooper Rush. Maybe it's Rasheen Ali. Or potentially, if the right trade piece becomes available, it could be David Ojabo and Sanusi Kane. So I think those are the 4 that I would say are certainly waivable or releasable.
It's an interesting about Ojabo because we're going to get into what the needs are right now, but they just dressed 3 outside linebackers this last week. Carl Lawson.
Two weeks in a row. Yeah.
And that's obviously been something that's been a provided me a soapbox to whine about. But I really don't like that. I think it's incredibly risky. Now, they have come up with some fairly creative ways with Orr to scheme around not having that third outside, not having a 4th outside linebacker, but they've also played Ojabo something like 35 snaps this last week, which to my mind is not a particularly good player to be on the field that much.
Completely agree. It's pretty much a desperate situation at outside linebacker at the moment. You could get Adisa Isaac back at some point who suffered a dislocated elbow, but who knows what you're going to get from him. I don't think he's taken a snap in the regular season yet. You do have Carl Lawson. You could get Tavius Robinson back late in the season, mm-hmm. but I think there's a pretty important need at outside linebacker presently.
Yeah, it's to me it's the number one need. And Malik Cam is sitting there on the practice squad, and they have not yet activated him. And I thought that might happen, but again, part of it is they need a clear roster space for that to happen in a way. They could actually, with him, they can elevate him. And you can elevate him ahead of a player like Keandre Jackson, and he can give you some special teams value as a big too, not just as a speed guy. I'm really surprised that Malik Cam hasn't gotten a chance yet, but there must be something in practice. They don't feel like he's ready, good enough, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's confusing. I don't understand why they wouldn't make that move. That's now been 2 weeks where they had only three outside linebackers. I think there was 1 week where they only had four defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. There was 1 week when they only had four corners and three safeties. So they're playing with fire in a lot of ways, and I'd like to go into every single game with a two deep at every position at the minimum. I think that's pretty easily accomplished if you can get some more special team snaps out of players like Justice Hill at the expense of Rasheena Lee's roster spot.
Right.
So go ahead.
Great point on Hill is that Hill was down to, I think, 11 offensive snaps this last week. And he did have a nice screen pass and whatnot, but Mitchell seems to be, his snaps seem to be increasing. He had 10 snaps this week. So you could definitely move to more of Justice Hill on special teams.
Yeah, there's several players on the roster that have a pedigree of special teams. Aloe Gilman's another one who did not play a special team snap last week. You can make it work. So I hope they're not so married to these special teams guys that that impacts the trade deadline. So let's just pivot back to that. I believe pass rush is clearly far and away the most important need at this point. Jonah Schaefer put out a note today that the Ravens currently have a 17.2% pressure rate without blitzing since Justin Madubuike went down with injury. And that would be the worst rate in a decade for any team. They're clearly the worst this year. No one else has been below 20. We saw yesterday the Buffalo Bills beat the Chiefs, and Joey Bosa really took advantage of KC's backup tackles and had Mahomes in trouble. Pretty much every game Mahomes loses, you can see you're winning with four. You rush four, you win with four. And unfortunately, the Ravens created this problem partially because of their trade of Odafe Away, who now has four sacks in four games. So I think it's time to rectify that situation before the deadline here.
Well, didn't like the return, but I hated that trade a lot more after Tavius Robinson went down. And while there's no doubt about it, they need to improve the pass rush, generally speaking. We're going to talk about a couple of ways they can do that. They're very short on early down outside linebacker snaps, which is impacting the pass rush. So Mike Green, let's take him as the central character in this whole thing. If Mike Green is playing a situational pass rush role, as he probably should have in a rookie season, under optimal circumstances, he'd be working every week with Chuck Smith, trying to improve his pass rush bag and trying to figure out what he's doing wrong, how he's improving on a very, very narrow set of snaps. And he'd be rested when he was in there to rush the passer. And now Mike Green is playing a bunch of early downs. They're leaning on him heavier than any other outside linebacker, more than Van Noy or Ajabo. Ajabo isn't any good. Van Noy is old, you know, so you have the issues with both of them. I mean, they need another guy who could take significant early down snaps. I really thought that could have been Malik Cam. And then this week they leaned on the uncovered nickel. You can only do it so much. They did 10 snaps though, where they only had one outside linebacker on the field. So they've got their
various. How are their results with the uncovered? Because I read your article 2 weeks ago, and I saw that the big nickel was by far their best package. Uncovered nickel had mixed results. How was the uncovered nickel last week?
Yeah, the uncovered nickel was good against the run this last week. It was like 5 for 17. So it's better than their overall run defense. And what they do with it is kind of a little tricky. They run somebody else up the line of scrimmage outside of Urban. Urban is the edge in that situation. To be kind of an extra tackler, and it's kind of alternated between Buchanan and Simpson. I guess it could be Gilman or somebody else if they wanted to run up somebody else too. So,
well, to your earlier point, I completely agree with you that Mike Green is being abused in a way, just overworked more than, you know, up there with some of the three down edges that of all time or Ravens history with the usage as a rookie. That's just unacceptable in my opinion.
Right.
But I think you're, and I'm not so concerned about the run defense because, like I always say, the best run defense is an explosive offense. And you have a lot of good run defenders. You have a stable of nose tackles now. You have your linebacking core. But your point is well said that if you add a run defender on early downs, it gives the other players more juice on passing downs.
Yeah, that's really the big deal there. And I guess they could stick out a Jabo every early down out there. That I don't think the results would be good. I think Ajabo actually is really hurting them as a run defender when he's out there. Of course, I probably like him hurting the team as a run defender more than I like him hurting him as a pass rusher. So that's just if you're committed to 35 snaps from David Ajabo, give him to me in the run if you have to.
Yeah,
where'd you like it, in the head or the gut? You know. All right. So besides an outside linebacker. Which we agree, and maybe the characteristics might differ slightly. And I'm interested to hear your set of players you're going to bring up on this.
Yep.
I think I am agnostic in a way to where their additional pass rush juice should come, but I think they need one more guy on the inside to pair with Travis Jones. So I think it could potentially be a nose tackle where Jones stays at three, which would be really, that actually be very cool if they could find a pass rushing nose. Or they go the other way and they bring in a three tech who's got some juice and a typical penetrator. It's going to be much easier to find that, by the way. There's a lot more of those guys. And move Jones back to the nose on obvious third downs.
Yes. Just preparing for the show, getting my notes together, I came to the conclusion that this should be a two-pronged solution, one outside linebacker, one down lineman. Mm-hmm. And I think that the – yeah, I think that if you do it that way, you don't have to necessarily go after a high-end guy. So you can, just use day three picks and maybe use two day three picks and you get two players. And hopefully that, that plugs the hole in the wall. So that's how I would look. That's how I would approach this. We definitely have some intriguing players here. Some of the players on your list I hadn't thought about much, and they're definitely good suggestions. I have a few that you didn't have. And as far as the guards, though, before we move on to them, the offensive line, I think I agree with you for the most part. You're not going to be able to upgrade. Kevin Zeitler, I would be fine with if they want to throw a seventh round or a sixth round to get him. I think there is maybe a little bit of the Lamar bump where he could benefit, where if you're comparing grades, he's playing with Cam Ward, so maybe if he comes here, he would outplay one of the two at the currently aligned.
Yeah, I think that's possible. Okay, so he's playing with Cam Ward. He's playing with a worse situation, certainly in Tennessee, in terms of what's going on. And if he came here, I basically agree with that. I do. I think that one of the issues with bringing Zeitler in, and I'm not like dead set against it. I'd probably be okay. I'd probably even be excited if you were here. But the truth of the matter is, Ravens don't have the roster spot to bring him in, and they either would add a 10th. Offensive lineman, which probably means you get rid of Ali.
I already have 10 with Jones.
I thought they had 9 with Jones. You're right. You're right. They have 10. You're right.
Because they deactivate Vincent and Jones. Yep.
Yeah. Good point. So they can't do it.
You'd bump Cleveland. You'd cut Cleveland. You'd waive Cleveland. If he's not going to play, if he's not going to get a chance, and having a little depth wouldn't be a bad idea, if Voorhees or Falele were to suffer an injury or someone else for that matter. So I'm not against it, but I'm not doing cartwheels pounding the table for it either. I could go either way as far as trying to upgrade the line. The only guy I think that would possibly make sense would be Zeitler.
Okay. Emory Jones would be a guy then also they could IR Emory Jones if they wanted to and then sit him for a while more. Get him back when he's actually ready to pass block. They McFarland and I had a little bit of talk about this, but they just jumped the gun on that decision on bringing it back. They jumped the freaking gun and removed any chance of NFIing him for the whole year, whether or not, he was going to be okay with that. There could have been a grievance or something filed over it, but it's a complete freaking option squishing they did by bringing him back and starting a 21-day window when he knew he wasn't ready right then.
When they made the announcement, I think they were looking for some positive PR. That was kind of in the depths of the, and as much as we might not want to admit it. I think throughout the years, the Ravens are cognizant of that at certain times.
All right. Okay. So I think we've hit on the needs and whatnot. Let's talk about some players now, because this is something we didn't do. And one of the big ones is gone this morning. In fact, at 5 minutes before my radio appearance, apparently he got traded. They told me, I didn't even know by the time I left for the station. I actually took a look at who, you know, what had been done. And Jalen Phillips traded by Miami to the Eagles today. The compensation was very much in line. And I should know that Brian is usually right about these things, but he predicted a third round pick for Phillips. It did actually seem too high to me. I thought, you know, third, return a fifth maybe, or a fourth. But I did not really see him going for as much as all this. But I guess he's the best available pass rusher on the market. Away might have been. Chargers got him.
Phillips was my number one choice when I woke up this morning. Unfortunately, the Eagles swooped in and got him. Howie strikes again. I thought he would have been a perfect player he's a good pass rusher. He has some upside. He could have been a better pass rusher here and sort of got the Ravens' structural boost as Marcus Peters and Roquan did after they were traded. And then he could probably fetch you a pretty nice comp pick. So that was the one I really wanted. And apparently Philly gave up a third, but Miami ate all the maximum amount of cap hit as they could. So comparing that to the Roquan trade, I wish DaCosta would have pulled that trigger if it was available to him, because the one I really liked.
Yeah, that actually, when I looked at it, Jalen Phillips had $6.6 million left on his salary. So it looks like Miami probably ate something just over $5 million. That does significantly increase the amount. I mean, I've seen studies that showed like a second round pick was worth about $14 million of cap space from various things that they looked at. So if a third round pick, I would think, is worth, you know, $5 million sounds like the right amount or less, and they you know, ate about $5 million and traded the guy, and then Philly gets a comp pick though.
That's what I thought, because he's the guy. If he flashes in the postseason, then all of a sudden people are lining up to pay him, and you could get an early fourth, or maybe even in a best case scenario, a third, because there's not a whole lot of exciting free agents out there. So it is water under the bridge at this point, but I hope they don't regret that one.
Yeah, the Ravens' third round pick is a much bigger nut to swallow than the Eagles' third round pick. Let's also just make clear on that. You know, the Ravens, you might be talking about like the 13th pick still. We got to be realistic about who the Ravens are. Or you might be talking about the 21st pick, where they sneak into the playoffs and they lose in the first round. Or you might be talking about the 28th pick if they make the AFC Championship with the worst of the four records. So, I mean, that'd be the 29th pick, but whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. So it is what it is. You want me to queue it up with this team?
Let's kind of go one by one through the players. In we'll each name one and pick them from whatever team. But we did. Did you do the same thing I did, where you looked at who the sellers were and then found players on the selling teams?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah. So, do we have a good idea? Let's go through the selling teams here really quickly to decide who we had as that. So Miami, we agree, is a seller, right?
Yep, for sure.
the Jets are certainly the selliest of sellers. Cleveland, I would think, is a seller, but you know, they have always very significant cap constraints. Cincinnati is a question. Are they a seller now at 3-6 after that humiliating loss to the Bears?
Probably. I mean, we'll see. Interdivision is always tricky. You know, you don't know if teams are willing to do it or not. So, obviously, Cleveland and Cincinnati pulled one off. The Ravens did Chris Wormley to Pittsburgh a few years ago, but those I'm not always so confident will happen.
Okay. We got Houston. Now, that's a big one. They lost to Denver. They're 3-5, and they've got some players. They might have taken solace in the fact that the Colts kind of got exposed against the Steelers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were the preseason. Yeah. I think, are they willing to sell the right player, which is they have a few. Because, they were the preseason favorite in that division. But then Stroud went down too yesterday.
Stroud got hurt. Yeah. I think it might have been a concussion, though, so it might not be the kind of thing that keeps him out too long. It might have even been that he was able to come back as a backup in that game. So it might not have been a concussion that, he still passed, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, we know, has been a seller since probably the season began. Las Vegas, I think they're sellers. I don't think they have anyone, but maybe you've got somebody on that team that you like. New York Giants are sellers. I think we're in agreement at this point. Now, they were a contender. 2-4, they look like a contender again with Jackson Dart coming on and whatnot.
Too many injuries on offense. You know, they lost their best receiver and their best running back already.
Yeah. Washington, I think if they're not sellers after what happened last night, I don't know when they'll ever be. I mean, this would be the time for them. Atlanta is another borderline seller. Now they play in a division with the Bucks, looking like they're going to probably run away with it to a certain degree, or at least, you know, make things difficult for them. I would think Atlanta's a seller, but I don't know. And I think they're 3-5, right?
Yeah, well, Carolina came out of nowhere. They're 5-4 now. And then, I mean, they would have been, for the last 5 years, they would have been selling, last 10 years maybe. Yep. But, Atlanta, I think they would sell certain pieces, right? They're not going to sell, you know, foundational pieces, but they would probably sell certain guys.
All right, and then New Orleans, clearly a seller. Arizona, also, I think, a seller in the seller of the West. So those are the teams I had. Anybody else that you identified as, hey, these guys should be selling?
No, sir. You got everybody.
All right.
That's all the sellers I had.
All right. So we'll talk through the players here. We'll just go one at a time and say, hey, what's the right price for this guy as close as we can peg it?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Who's your first guy?
So I'm going to go with a player you didn't have on your list, but it's Bradley Chubb of the Miami Dolphins. We're not sure if they'll be willing to sell another edge after they did, but apparently the owner fired the GM because he was reluctant to sell, and he said, we need to sell. So Bradley Chubb is due a 19.5 base salary in 2026 and 18.5 in 2027, but it's not guaranteed. And there's a few players on here that I have with big numbers that aren't guaranteed, so they could just be a rental. Now, if you cut them, you eliminate your compensatory possibilities. Mm-hmm. But he has 4 sacks, 7 QB hits, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery. He's 29 years old. I would have preferred Phillips, as I mentioned. I think Phillips is a superior pass rusher, but I think he might be in the mix.
So I didn't like Chubb for the future contractual concerns. There's a little bit more than the 19.4 on there because he's got workout bonuses and per game roster bonuses, which aren't a lot, but they total about another 800,000 in each of 26 and 27. So not trying to make it into a big deal. I like the fact that those salaries are not guaranteed. There's not a ton of money to be picked up this year because they reduce his base salary to 1.255 million with a restructure. But there's still $2.3 million beyond that in per game and workout bonuses that would go to the new team. So it's about $3.6 million, about $1.8 million would have to be picked up in terms of his salary. Not the end of the world. I just don't know how much. Even let's say that Bradley Chubb is a value at the $20 million or so he's going to make each in the next 2 years. Let's say the Ravens say, yeah, that's... He should make 22, but we get to pay him only 20. It's a slight advantage in that. I'm still not sure the Ravens can fit him under the cap with the need to re-sign Lamar and players like Travis Jones they have to deal with. So it was too much of a future commitment to me. I think the Ravens need to go back to their roots, draft, and get the player themselves again, as opposed to picking up. And also Chubb being 30, 31, having an injury history, I'm just not that excited about, honestly, for what he brings to the table at $20 million.
Yes, he wouldn't be – he would not be – I mean, I don't think he'd be a needle mover individually. Right. So
he's a rent-to-buy guy then would be the way to think of him. You have an option to buy him at $20 million if he goes crazy the rest of the season. And what are you willing to give up for him?
A fourth would be my top dollar for Chubb.
Okay, so I'm in the same spot because he's not. There's no compensatory return or anything. He'll leave not on his own terms, and that's unfortunate. But I think that's exactly the most that I would be willing to pay for him. And even that, I mean, that's a harder one to swallow than Jalen Phillips even as a three, given all of the other elements that Miami was willing to deal with on that.
Yep. Agreed. All right, you're up.
I'm going to go with some smaller players. One of the guys I would be excited to get is Tim Settle of Houston. Now, he really had a great game against the Ravens when they were here. But number 97, if you ever want to go back and look at that game, and we did interior defensive lineman, $1.5 million left on his contract. He's a UFA at the end of the season, so he is a pure rental. I think he's a guy you team up with Travis Jones at the 1 and 3 spots. Settle would play the 3 in this case. And I think you have some pass rush juice again on the inside. Cheap as hell. I don't think he's a big – I think that if Houston is looking to hoard draft picks, the stars could be aligned. If Houston is still looking to compete in the South, then probably not. But they've got – if they're looking to get a 5th and return a 6th, I would consider that high for a player like Settle. I'd do it a 6 straight up easily, but – a 5th returning a 6, I do as well.
Yeah, good choice here. 28 years old, former 5th round pick out of Virginia Tech. He has a top 20 pass rush grade on PFF as for interior defensive lineman, and he played well against the Ravens. So I'd be on board with that. I co-sign your pick swap suggestion.
Okay.
Let's go to another bigger name, Jermaine Johnson of the Jets. He made a big impact as a pass rusher in 2022 and 2023, and he has fallen off the last 2 years, both versus the run and the pass. I think you might have a little bit of long-term upside with him if you could develop him, but I think they already picked up his fifth-year option, which would be hit the books next year. So for that reason – and these aren't all suggestions that I'm making or you're making, but more just talking to the Raven fan base about some names that have been bandied about, giving our takes on them.
Fair enough. So, I mean, the fifth-year option being picked up on a player like Johnson is going to cost about $13.4 million. It's all guaranteed, of course. And the receiving team would have to take it. He doesn't have a whole lot of money still due this year, only about $1.3 million. So could take him on that basis. The Jets can't do anything to relieve the 2026 salary, I don't believe. So you end up at a player who I think he would be worth it at what he's still on the books for this year, but you can't pick up that fifth year option in exchange for it. You'd be very unhappy with that.
Yes, agreed, for sure.
All right. Let me stick in Houston with my second guy, who's Sheldon Rankins, interior defender. Gives you a little bit of pass rush. And again, another guy I think could be paired with Jones and create more problems on the inside. By the way, Jones just had a fantastic game. Travis Jones just had a fantastic game.
Yes, he did.
Of rushing the passer, stopping the thing. And some of it was because he was able to get early down pressures from 3-tech when he's in there with one of the plethora of Ravens noses that they have now. Now, in passing downs, he moves back to the nose. And they don't really have a 3-tech at all, which is one of the reasons why we're looking at guys like Rankins and Settle and others. But they need a pairing of some sort to go with Travis. And I think either Rankins or Settle. Rankins is $750K still in the books. He'll be a UFA at the end of the year. Don't know how old he is. I should take a look at that.
Rankins, 32.
Okay, so he's definitely 32. An older guy. You don't want to get in one of these multi-year situations. I don't. He might or might not be 6'2", 305. So he's a standard 3-tech here. He might or might not be a guy that you would sign to another 1 or even 2 year deal. But I don't like 2 year deals for players his age because of the old grade risk we've talked about. So,
yep. Yeah, I'm trying to avoid players in their 30s as much as possible. You know, there's so much uncertainty still with Nande Metabike. You don't want to have 3 high-paid defensive tackles on the roster at the same time, which is maybe something that will come up with some of these other players. I'll stay in Houston again with a very under-the-radar player by the name of Daryl Taylor. He's a big-bodied outside linebacker, played for Tennessee in college. Then he was drafted by Seattle, put up 6.5, 9.5, and 5.5 sacks in his first 3 years. He then played for Chicago last year.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies. 100% federally legal THC blends discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Three sacks, and now he's buried on the Houston Texans depth chart. He's only had 33 snaps all season. He was signed to a one-year contract with a two and a quarter base. So they would keep the sort of like how the Jair Alexander played out. Houston keeps the bonus. The Ravens would split the salary with him. He would be a pretty good, really a three down player. He kind of has the you know, the just the big body Matt Judon type of mold.
Yeah, he's just, let's see, a 750, but there's about $1.5 million left on this year's contract. So even if Houston picked it up, it wouldn't be, I don't even know what they'd be allowed to pick up, because it's a lot of it is per game roster and other bonus, which I presume the Ravens have to pick up, but they might be able to pick up like half of 900,000 or something. But even so, I don't hate the idea. I just don't think he's a truly exceptional player. I think you have a guy from a pass, never really graded particularly well on PFF from a pass rush perspective. But he's been better than he has been in the past, and he's hardly played this year, which you got to ask questions about where he is. But it's an interesting name, and I hadn't considered. So that's always good. Well, I guess I'll move on. Let's move on to Tennessee. We got a couple guys who might be in the mix there. Draymond Jones, the outside linebacker, is the guy I probably would favor. UFA, $1.1 million. He can give you a lot of snaps, and he's a guy who can hold the edge. I think he's more of a pure replacement for Tavius Robinson than the other guys we've talked about so far. He'd be a guy who'd give you some of that early down juice.
Yeah, he's more of a squared off Jihad Ward, strong side defensive end type, 29 years old. You know, as part of a solution, you land Jones and you also make a move on the down, you know, three tech. I think it could work. But I think for Jones, I'd be probably a fifth would be the most I would offer.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think that's perfectly reasonable. And he's got, I mean, he's cheap as heck. So, and it's not like the guy has not had some significant sack totals in 7 year career. He's got 36 sacks. And he has at times been, you know, at times been a good pass rusher, but most of his career been just a slight plus on the pass rusher. But certainly at 6'3", 281, he gives you the edge setting that you probably want to have over on that side. So we'll I think you could play him on any down. I don't think you bring him only in on obvious passing downs, and maybe give a little bit of relief to that uncovered nickel and the frankly reduce the Ajabo snaps. It'd be a big improvement on that.
Yeah, makes sense to me. The other Tennessee Titan is Arden Key, also an outside linebacker. He's bounced around for a while. He's a sort of a poor pass rusher. His pass rush win rate is below 9% this year, and his salary is $3.5 million. So I don't see him as an upgrade really at all.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. He did not make my top 10. For Washington, I want to go to them because if they're not sellers, I don't know what's going on in DC. But Deron Payne is an interesting interior player who's definitely had pass rush juice in the past. He's on a big contract that goes through 2026, but I believe his 26 salary is not guaranteed. So he could be treated as a rental. You just don't pick up anything in terms of a comp pick if you cut him. And I don't think he'd be super expensive, frankly. I think he's a guy that not having a super duper season right now, I think he's a guy Washington would be happy to be rid of. I think he's probably cut next year when they have 16.8 in cap savings to do so. So I think that you know, for the right price, he's traded, you know, five return of six. I think either of those probably, I'd want five return of six, I think, for Daron Payne at this point, given what he's done this year. But I still think that Washington would be probably silly not to get some value for him, given his current state.
This is a very intriguing name, Ken. I think it makes a lot of sense to use him as a rental. You do have to pay a premium. He's only 28 years old. He's graded very well this year. He has a pedigree of very good play. That's what earned him that big contract in the first place. He would be right near the top of my wish list for defensive line players.
Okay. All right. And fair enough. What's your compensation limit on him?
I would probably do a 4 for a 5 switch. I'm a little bit higher, but just I think he could be potentially a cornerstone player for the next couple of years if he did, you know, play up to that number. So, you know, again, with the Matabike, who knows? You want to re-sign Travis Jones. You have Matabike on the books. You don't necessarily want another high-paid defensive lineman. You don't want all your assets concentrated in certain position groups. But maybe there's a way to make it work.
He would be, if he was acquired, the Ravens would have 5 of the 32 number one picks from 2018 on the roster.
Wow.
Taven Bryan is one, and Daron Payne, and obviously Lamar. And
Well, they don't have Jair anymore.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it will be. Okay, so it will be 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I will go back to the Jets for another defensive tackle. Probably the name most echoed and discussed on Twitter is Quinnen Williams. I don't love Quinnen Williams. I think he's a good player, not great. He's ranked the number one run defender by interior linemen on PFF, but his pass rush is middling. So that doesn't inspire me to want to say, you know, he's going to be a great addition. He is 28 years old. He has $5 million guaranteed in 2026, and the 27 you can get completely out of without any guarantees. Some people are talking about give up a second round pick for him.
No way.
I'm not on board with that at all. I think I would, you know, throw a dart at him maybe, but I'm still in like the fourth round for that one.
Yeah. So quick, first of all, let's talk total cost of this thing. So for 20, he's effectively a rental because you can't pay the $5 million. Okay. Sorry. You're stuck with the $5 million on his 2026 deal, but there's no freaking way you'd want to pay the whole $20.75 million he's going to make. So you're going to want to be out of his contract after this year. So you have to roll that $5 million into this year, and it all goes to the Ravens, not half of it like normal. He's got a per game roster bonus of $1.1 million, a base salary of $15.7 million, which I guess the Jets could eat part of, but that's still 16.8, half of that, 8.4, add 5, that's $13.4 million you have to pay to have Quinnen Williams here for the rest of the season. I don't know that there's any draft compensation I want to pay to make that exchange. Not a, you know, good player, it certainly was at one point, but I'm just not excited enough about him as a player to make that kind of a financial commitment.
I agree completely there. I'm not saying I wouldn't give up a third round pick for anybody, but he's not, or maybe even a second if somebody really special came available. I don't think I'd really ever part with the first unless you're talking about Myles Garrett becoming included or something. But he's not, I don't think he's that special. I don't.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're on the same page there. I guess it's my turn now. I'll go to a really unknown player, Alex Wright, the outside linebacker who's playing for Cleveland. Cleveland certainly should be ready to unload. Alex Wright has $1.7 million on his contract, a UFA at the end of the season. He's kind of your perfect rental and a guy who basically is a run defender who can give you maybe a little bit of pass rush, but not a whole lot. Let me go back to see how he's done this year so far.
Nope, that's exactly what that's my note exactly. Better run defender than pass rusher for sure.
Okay.
So that would be the player that takes some early down steps from Mike Green, and Mike Green's allowed some more rest, so he has fresh legs to pass rush the passer. Again, I'm always skeptical of intra division trades. I also think this might be a guy that Cleveland wants to try to extend if they can find some cap space with, you know, the insurance deferral from Watson. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I throw a very late sixth or seventh pick swap maybe to have him. That's probably about it.
Yeah, I'm that's where I would be too. And I think if you're Cleveland and you get a 6-4 in the division, you get the chance to return the curse of Babatunde Oshinowo, who was the sixth round pick who got thrown into the trades. So Nada, they could move up and take Nada.
Yeah.
Versus Cam Wimbley. So they would love to have that. But they also still have, you know, the sixth round pick the Ravens traded to get Voorhees is now looking like a really good one.
Which player was that?
So I don't know who Cleveland got, but but the Ravens traded a six for this year's seven, next year's six kind of swap in order to take Voorhees while he could be NFI'd for the entire year. And now Voorhees is at 5 out of 6 good games. So it's looking like this might make sense.
For sure, but that not a trade up with some Ozzie Newsome magic.
It's pure. It is. It's like it's almost like one of the trades on draft day. It just didn't make any sense, and you need like a squirrely guy on the other end of the phone in a movie scene even to sell it.
Right. Yeah. Maybe he had some connections from his time there. Who knows? Let's move on to the New York Giants because they're probably a team with some big names, and I will bring up Dexter Lawrence, who is their big nose tackle, can also play probably three. He's almost comparable to a Travis Jones or a Jeffrey Simmons. He's 27 years old. He has 16 pressures on the season, the third best pass rush for interior linemen on PFF. Mm-hmm. He is due $18.5 million in base salary next year and $18 million base the year after. However, none of that is guaranteed, which I had his name in my mind, and then I didn't write it down originally, and I said, let me try to get some more material. And then I went and saw that, and I said, wow, that is probably a player I would do a third on.
Okay, so it is really $20 million each in the next 2 years because of workout bonuses, and what's the other bonus? A workout and per-game bonuses are $1.5 million each year, so it's really $20
million. Okay.
You presume he's going to earn those. If I look at the cost for the rest of this year, they, of course, pick up the prorated signing bonus. There'd still be a per game and workout bonus. We'd be talking about $17 million. Half of that's $8.5 million for the rest of this year. Not super cheap. It is, you know, the Ravens have some cap space. They could take on Dexter Lawrence. He would transform who they are as a two-man pass rushing unit. And I think that him and Jones would be as feared as what the Eagles can present in the middle as a pass rushing duo. So I love it from that perspective, but it is a ton of cap to go. And then you throw out a pick with that. Would I trade a three in there to get the extra, you know, the option on the extra 2 years in addition to the play this year? It's a lot, but I probably would.
Yeah. I mean, basically you're using most of the cap space you saved from OA and putting it towards. You know, I think if you had Lawrence in there, and, you know, the trend has been in recent years, interior pressure is worth more than edge pressure. Mm-hmm. And then I really think if you're that strong in the interior, it mitigates the need to swing high on the edge.
I agree with you on that. I'm not even sure they can swing high on the edge. I don't know who's available that really makes any sense. I mean, Thibodeau, we're going to no doubt talk about, but Lawrence is a much more impactful player to get on the interior. I like the idea of having Dexter Lawrence here. I have a feeling that the Giants are saying, what are you talking about? We want a one for Dexter, you know? And then as soon as they go into that discussion, you know, you can hang up the phone right away. A two is too much. A two for a three might, you know, maybe. And that's a two for three is still like a very high three or a low two probably. Mm-hmm. Even there, I'm not kind of convinced that I would go that high on it, given he's not a cheap player. I mean, he costs a lot of money, and it's cap space the Ravens can roll and spend on Lamar Jackson and Travis Jones himself for next year.
Right. Fair points. Definitely fair.
All right. Let me go on to another guy. I'll leave one of the juicy ones for you here. I'll go to Atlanta. and go with Arnold Ebiketie. Is a guy UFA, only $950,000 on his contract currently, would kind of make a lot of sense for the Ravens. And I don't know if the Falcons are sellers, and I don't know if they would, you know, what they really would expect to get for a player like Ebiketie, because I think they signed him. Let's see, how did they extend him for 2 years or something? And then, but this is the last year of his contract. This must be, just a UFA coming up. It's been a good player.
I think it's his first rookie deal because he's still 26 years old.
Yeah. So one of the younger guys who's available for sure does not have a sack this year. And that's something he's done fairly frequently in the past. He's been a better generator of sacks. His pressure rate is down, and he's also missed some time, it appears, because he's played 102 run defense snaps, but only a total of 103 total pass snaps. So using him, it seems like, more on early downs this year. Definitely was not the case in the past. And it also looks like he's missed some time. Although 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it looks like he's played every week. He just hasn't played all that much.
The thing is, they drafted 2 first-round edge rushers. They're both rookies, and they're both playing pretty well. So he is sort of buried behind them. So who knows if he's part of their long-term plans? You would assume not, because they've had both these guys for 4 more years potentially after this. He's well-rounded with pass rush as his best attribute. He was always teammate at Penn State, for whatever that's worth. But, yeah, I'd be intrigued. It's not a guy where I'd really start looking at a fourth, but a fifth for a sixth or something of the sort that I could get behind.
Okay. I think I could, too. I think that would address the Ravens' need to a great enough. And he's more of a 3/5 tech guy. So you mentioned the edge, but I thought he was – I thought, anyway, that he was an interior guy. Let me take a look. Maybe I have it wrong. No, they have him as an outside linebacker. Okay. I got it wrong on my sheet here. So he's
a little bit undersized, if I recall.
6'3", 256 is what I have.
Okay. So yeah. Yep. Definitely edge guy.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Okay.
But he's well-rounded as far as good against the run, decent in coverage, you know, so I think he could kind of help you fill in for Octavius a little bit of that sort of thing.
Okay. I'd be excited about that pick. I think that sounds like it's a distressed property from Atlanta. Sounds like there's a deal to be worked out here. And Ebiketie sounds like a guy they may not be extending. So I'm on board.
Okay. Let's go back to the Giants, I guess, and get Thibodeau out of the way. Apparently they want a first. I'm really not excited about this player much at all. He spurned my college team. He was committed to them and then flipped on signing day. He and Travis Jones or Travis Hunter both did that 2 years in a row. But anyway, Florida State, who's probably going to be in the market for a new coach this year again. Too much money and not a good enough pass rusher. I'll leave it. I'll let you pick it up from that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. He's been a 4-3 edge too. So you move him to a 3-4 edge, you're asking him to do a little bit more in coverage. He's had 7 coverage snaps this year. He did, in his first 2 years, cover a fair amount, about 155 coverage snaps between those two seasons. So it wouldn't be necessarily a terrible situation. He's been okay back when he did some coverage, but you know, largely you'd be getting him because you want to have him take over the Tavius Robinson role and be no worse. And I'm actually not sure he'd be as good. I'm not sure. And that's really saying something when your former fifth overall selection is not as good as your injured outside linebacker. He has played 452 snaps this year, which is nice. That's a very high durability outside linebacker. They probably, Mike Green is on pace, and he's played a lot of snaps based for a rookie, but he's on pace for something like 700 snaps. So, you know, a guy who played 900 snaps is obviously significantly above that in terms of how often. Are you willing to give anything for him? Or are
I hope that one of the other teams in the market for a pass rusher spends their capital on him and takes him off the Ravens board and pushes somebody else to the Ravens, because apparently there's 4 or 5 teams that are looking to add a pass rusher in the next 24 hours here.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe that's the way we hope that works out. All right. I got another name for you. It's a small one. I've got a no and a yes on this team, but we could talk about Chris Rumpf, the outside linebacker, UFA, $550,000 still of value. He's played some this year, and he's played pretty well when he's been in there. I don't know if he's like replacing an injured player this year, and I have to look at how much.
What's the their edge went down? The long standing Cameron Jordan. Cameron,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then that must be why he's getting playing time this year. And Chris Rumpf, and he's 6'4", 244. He's 27 years old. Last year of his, well, I don't know. Actually, he might be on a 1-year deal right now because he's 3 years with the Chargers and this, and then he was injured, and then he's with New Orleans now. He does have one sack. He's played a total of 209 total snaps, but this is a pickup for $550,000. You basically fit him in for the same money that you, actually for less than even you gained on the Alexander trade, and hopefully he takes the snaps away from Ajabo on early downs is how I'd look at it. He'd be a pure run defender for you.
Yeah, for that role, I think it could make some sense. He's not really too exciting to me. I didn't like him too much coming out. He's a little bit undersized. He's again, not super explosive, but just as a pure run defender, if that's what you really, really need, it could make some sense. Compensation would be very low that I'd be willing to part with for Rump.
Yeah. Seven. Not even a conditional seven, but pure seven. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Pure seven. Okay. Pure seven.
If they make it a conditional seven, that may allow them to make it a floater. I'm not sure what the rules are, but I know that Brian was telling me that you can only trade the picks you have, but if you have put conditions on it, then it's like making it be a player to be named later in baseball where you can pick them from a list or whatever. And it may allow you under those circumstances to give them the lowest compensatory pick you have. And the Ravens looks like they may have 3 or 4 seventh round picks this year. So might, at least 3 are a possibility.
Yeah, that'd be good. Right. That'd definitely be good. So I will, why don't we do the next New Orleans Saint, Carl Granderson, as you note here, not great production, and he has an expensive contract. So that would not be too exciting.
Yeah, I'm out on him. I know he's a name that comes up for the let me look up his contract because I think that was where some of the problem came because he hasn't really had good production. But he signed for 2 more years, and there is $5.4 million in guaranteed money next year. I don't believe the Saints can do anything about that. Maybe they can restructure it and then trade him. But the $5.4 million and a roster bonus of $2 million next year, which is not guaranteed, the Ravens would be looking at about $600,000 this year, but another $5.4 next year. It costs about $6 million to pick him up. So I'm out already at that price, I think. And there's no compensatory return or anything. You'd have to cut him at the end of this year. All right. I think we might have lost Voss here. We'll see if he comes back. Voss, if you're still there, maybe you can turn off your video because that sometimes is the problem. All right. Well, we'll continue here. We got two names that are left while we're waiting for Voss to come back here. The first is, they're both with the Arizona Cardinals. So the first one we'll talk about is Zaven Collins, who's an outside linebacker, has $4.3 million due in 26 and $2.2 million due in 25. But Collins is a player who has been reasonably good. And let me bring him up here for a second real quick. But it gives you a little bit of pass rush juice, a little bit of run defense, probably more like Tavius Robinson than a lot of other players in terms of being able to fit both roles. But they wouldn't have a problem having him on early downs. And he certainly played early in his career. He played almost exclusively as a run defender, or much more as a run defender than he has been recently. So I think he could be a guy who would really help fill that gaping hole and potentially give the Ravens a little more flexibility in how they deal with first and second down. Now, in terms of compensation for Zaven Collins, I think you end up paying a little bit more for him. Might be a 5 for a 6 type trade, might even be a 5 straight up because he's certainly not a bad player by any stretch. I think he's healthy, but he did not play in either week 8 or week 9, which worries me. So I don't believe him to be on IR, but I'd have to actually check. But he's been out at least 1 week recently. So we'd have to see what the injury situation is with Zaven before pulling the trigger on a deal like that. Still missing Voss here, so we'll just continue on. probably the biggest name at all for Ravens fans, and the one they'd welcome back with open arms, is Calais Campbell. Cheap as heck, $2 million to bring him back. He can still certifiably rush the passer. He's not been a good tackler in many years now, which is kind of strange. What I remember about Calais Campbell as a Raven is that, yeah, he has some missed tackles, but a lot of them retrack the runner and are really like what I would call good missed tackles. Now, he has some bad missed tackles too. I'm not saying he doesn't, but he can. We just got Voss back here. I just want to say we talked about Zaven Collins, finished up with Granderson a little bit. And I just want to, first of all, get any thoughts from you on Zaven Collins and then talk about Calais.
Yeah, I like Zaven Collins. 26 years old. He's versatile. He's a jack-of-all-trades type. He could help fill in multitude of roles like Octavius. I think if you could pair Zaven with a pass-rushing defensive tackle, then you could be onto something.
Okay. All right. I was in the same spot. I think he's a mixed guy. And he's a guy who would fill the Tavius Robinson role to a reasonable degree. I think he's also a guy, I don't know if you can kick him inside, but you could probably kick somebody else inside, maybe in a Jabo. Van Noy has been a guy who's done some standing looks, and also Mike Green has done some standing pick your gap kind of looks. So those are possibilities there. But Collins is a player I wouldn't mind having. And then we talked about Calais Campbell, just started to talk about him. Only $2 million seems like a given that he is going to be traded, and there may even be some significant like valuation for Calais. Should he be more than a seventh round pick or maybe a sixth returning a seven? I don't know, but I think there might be.
He's playing pretty well. We're 39 years old. He's playing very well. Yeah, maybe you're looking at a fifth for a sixth swap. I could see that happening. I think Calais has done. He's beaten Father Time somehow. And a lot of teams are looking for what he offers from a leadership perspective, from a run defense, and from generating pass rush.
Yeah. So I would not be upset with that. I wouldn't even, in the case of Calais, I'm not even sure I mind overpaying a little bit, given, who he is and the pedigree he brings to town. So he'd be the one. I'm exhausted my list here at this point. Did you have anyone else you want to talk about? Maybe someone else from the Cardinals?
The last guy on my list is Matt Judon, who's currently with Miami, hasn't played very much, seemingly lost a step. He's in his mid-30s now. But if you're looking for somebody to just be a pure edge setter to allow Mike Green to go back to more of a designated pass rusher role, I think throwing them a seventh for Judon could be beneficial.
Okay, so basically, if you do that, then Judon takes snaps that Ajabo has currently on early downs. He probably takes some snaps from Mike Green if you really want to get value out of him. And then he's not really ever on the field on third down, although he is a guy who can kick inside. He is a guy who's big enough to do that on third down and be paired up with next to Travis Jones on some of those plays. So he's an interesting name. Do you think that there's enough bad blood there that the Ravens would say, no way in hell are we bringing Matt Judon back after all the things he said after he left?
I hope not. I think he's always been sort of a tongue-in-cheek kind of guy, kind of had a Terrell Suggs personality. The whole thing with Jamison Hensley, that didn't really affect the Ravens as far as saying they didn't pay me. I understood. I thought he should have gotten paid by the Ravens for that number. I was disappointed to let him go. He's one of my favorite players during that era. But as far as bad blood, I mean, who's to say what they really think? But I think it could be salvageable.
Okay. All right. The Ravens have a pretty good history of not making a big deal out of blowups like that, so that they do have the option to pursue players, to re-sign players and whatnot. And, as much seeming vitriol as there has been in this town for Ben Cleveland, all the saltiness with Harbaugh and not really wanting to answer questions about why Ben Cleveland isn't in there over other guards, for example, and not just Falele, but others as well. That's something that they were able to get by and bring him back here. So yep. Surprising.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
All right. Voss, always great talking football with you. I think that brings us to the end of our trade deadline special. We're going to try and get this out here on Monday night, but pass this along quickly if you're just seeing this come out on Tuesday morning to anybody else you think might be interested. Voss, tell us about what you're up to and how people can talk football with you.
Yes, I'm on Twitter X at Vasilis Fiammata, VasilisFiammata. Fiammata is the name of our restaurant. We opened about 8 months ago. Hope you give it a try. It's located in Finksburg on 2900 Baltimore Boulevard.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, thanks for listening. Friday Morning GM listens in particular. Very good. Hit us up with questions if you'd like to for Friday Morning GM. And I think I missed one today, by the way. Let me see. I don't have the ability to pull that up. If you can pull it up in the time you have there on Twitter, we'll take it. Otherwise, we'll have to say no. But thanks for all your questions. Please make use of hashtag Film Study Mailbag and look for our regular content on a daily basis. For Vasilis, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on Film Study.